This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Construction and Power Women Investing.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I am here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture to make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
Yes, we are, Fred.
And we invite people to visit us at fredandjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and even subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes and TuneIn Radio.
Are we on Amazon yet?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Amazon.com. You've heard of that website, right?
Yeah.
You know, you can go down, you go there and download. So, you know, people that have Kindle Fires or Amazon goofy phones. You know, we want everyone to hear the show, Fred, not just your goofy friends that have iPhones.
I thought TuneIn Radio was the app for the Android-based stuff, which is what the Kindle and the Kindle phone is.
See, Fred, that would be like you saying, well, gosh, I thought you already had a guy on first base. Or I thought you already had one quarterback.
No, who's on first?
That's what I'm talking about. We should populate them all, Fred. Populate them all.
All right, fine. We'll do that.
And folks, of course, this very, very, very first part of our show is brought to you by the good folks at TucsonHappenings.com. Check them out. They got the whole 5 days of everything cool that's going on here in Tucson.
Isn't there an article from friend of the show, Jim Turner, on there as well?
Absolutely, there is. It's an excellent article, actually. And we hope to have Jim on the show in the coming months.
He will be on the show. We've already scheduled him out because he's going on a tour. Then he's going to be finishing up his book. And then so we'll have him after he gets back from his tour. And then we'll have him when his book gets published.
Very cool. Very cool.
So we have booked
back on the rock and roll tour, huh? Wonder if he's got roadies this time.
No, just him.
Huh. That's still good times.
But maybe some hitchhikers he picks up along the way. But yeah, so we have him scheduled up for the next year.
Wow.
Assuming we're still here.
Yes, assuming, God willing, you and I still are on the planet.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. By the way, how's the heart?
I don't know. I just had a physical this last week.
How did it go? Did you see Dr. Jellyfinger?
No, I did not. I did see our good buddy, Louis Aguilar.
Oh, how's old Dr. Aguilar doing?
You know, I love a doctor who asked me, he goes, do you smoke? I was like, no.
You lied.
No. I don't see. This is the thing. When people ask you if you smoke, they typically are referring to cigarettes. And I do not smoke cigarettes.
Did you ask him to clarify his question?
No. But so I said, I don't smoke cigarettes, I smoke cigars. And he goes, what kind of cigars do you smoke? And I said, good ones. And then I shouldn't tell the rest because he told me not to. But anyways,
then he said, okay, Fred, that's okay.
No, I love a primary care doctor who refers you to websites where you might be able to acquire
a better brand of what you're smoking.
A better brand of what I'm smoking. Yes.
Way to go, Dr. Aguilar. See, I go and see my primary care guy, Ken Adler.
Yeah.
Love him. I've seen him since the old Group Health Medical Center, GHMA days, Group Health Medical Associate days.
Yeah.
And I walk in and I see him and he just shakes his head and he's like, you haven't lost any weight yet, have you? And I'm like, all right, I got you. So yeah. He gives me the, you know, 40 pamphlets on cholesterol and diabetes and heart risk and, you know, weight loss. And I walk out his door and I file them and then I see him again next year.
Yeah. So file him in the round file, I assume?
Yes.
Yeah. So
in the round file.
Typically, every physical is pretty good.
You enjoy your physicals, don't you?
No, I do not. Because
do you typically send Louis some flowers the next day?
You know, this is the thing with Louis. We sit there and chat for about 20 minutes. He listens to my heart, looks at my eyes, and is like, get the hell out of here.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's so, very good.
He does, you know, we do the blood work, and it's typically everything's fine. So the big question is, has anything changed from last year? Do you want to talk about anything? He's like, nah.
You know, the personal relationships are still a wreck.
Yeah.
Job is
pretty
okay.
Pretty much. My tinnitus, we did have this conversation about tinnitus. Because almost a year ago, McCoy, my younger son, and I were in a motor vehicle accident where we were rear-ended by some fellow traveling at a high rate of speed and not paying attention.
Right.
So we were stopped at a red light, and I look up in the rearview mirror, and this guy is barreling down on us, like, I don't think he's stopping. And he didn't. So we actually got rocketed through the intersection.
It's good that you can laugh about this now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not laughing about the fact that I have tinnitus for the last year.
And that's no good.
So he's like, well...
Which is what you keep blaming, that the website doesn't get updated. Why? It's the tinnitus.
It is the tinnitus.
Yeah. Well, now that's a baloney.
Well, Dr. Deckard, Louis's like, well, now it's time to talk to a lawyer, Fred. It's like, there's no cure for tinnitus. There's nothing you can do. He goes, there's some voodoo things out there. Don't even try them. Just go to your lawyer and get this thing settled. So,
well, how's your lawyer going to fix your tinnitus?
He's not, but I guess a big fat check helps.
Oh, Fred.
The ringing isn't as bad when there's lots of zeros.
Oh, God.
So, so I had my physical, but this is the thing I'm most excited about as we enter June and July.
The fact that the Tankoverde swap meet is open today till 2?
No. The fact that we are now on Bloom Watch.
Oh, God. Here we go. Hey, ladies and gentlemen. First and foremost, I'm a big fan of the Night Blooming series. I really am. But it is May 24th.
Yeah.
And when are these bad boys or bad girls
going to... Typically July. But the last Bloom Watch email from Tona Chul...
Yes.
...said they might come early.
Oh, like maybe May 30th?
I don't know. Some of the blooms are looking a little rambunctious.
Ah.
So it may come a little bit earlier this year, but typically it's July-ish. But the folks at Tona Chul keep an eye out on these night blooming series. And the queen of the evening,
yes,
she's on her way.
I love it. And you know what, folks? If you would like to go to Tohono Chul and see these pre-bloomed...
No, they're boring. Don't...
No. You got to see the before and after, because if you don't know the before, the after's not as spectacular.
Well, I guess.
So if you want to go, we've got some... I've got a gift certificate here to the Garden Bistro at Tohono Chul. It's for breakfast or lunch, and I'll give you two of them. Two for breakfast or lunch. Just give us a call at
520-428-5104.
Right. And we will send you to breakfast or lunch to Tohono Chul, the Garden Bistro. Jason Hartenbach and his crew out there do a fantastic job. You will be very happy, happy, happy. And then you can go walk around and look at the brown sticks.
Yeah, no, I have never had a bad meal out there. The folks at Tona Chul say tonight's the night for the Night Blooming Series. We go and have early dinner while the sun sets, because these things don't bloom until the sun's gone.
So you know what else today is?
Eat a burrito day?
Close. National Escargot Day.
Ooh.
Yes, so that's a big shout out to Grandpa John, who loved escargot.
Oh, I love escargot. You know,
and you know what else today is?
What?
Wyatt Earp Days.
Ah,
Wyatt Earp Days is happening right now until 4 p.m.
In Tombstone.
In Tombstone, the Lions Club and the historic Allen Street folks on Tombstone are getting it on with Wyatt Earp Days right now. And the summer roundup at Old Tucson is happening tonight till 5. So the Arizona Sonora Western Heritage Foundation wants you to come over to Old Tucson and check out the Memorial Day fun and activities out at Old Tucson. Super fun. So there's tons of stuff going on.
Here's a bit of Wyatt.
And guess what? U of A baseball is playing Hawaii. The Rainbow Warriors at High Corbett Field.
The Rainbow Warriors?
That's right. Well, they might just be called the Warriors now, but they used to be called the Rainbow Warriors. And
the Rainbow Warriors.
Rainbow Warriors?
That's what you just said.
Well, there you have it. I was trying to think of that funny part from A Life of Brian. Ruiz Waterwick. But the first pitch is at noon at High Corbett, folks, so check that out.
Yeah.
And let's see, CYT, Christian Youth Theater, presents the Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious musical adventure Mary Poppins today. And that one's going to be at U of A Crowder Hall at 2 o'clock. That's a good one. And, of course, the Tucson ukulele meetup happening from 2 to 5. You know, I got a baritone ukulele at home, Fred. I'm learning how to play.
A baritone ukulele?
Very fun, yep. Tune it like a guitar.
So,
and then, of course, tons of more stuff. Sacred Space, the Bluegrass Music Jam Session, Clutterers Anonymous, Snakes! Snakes! A 30-minute talk out at Saguaro National Park West. Tons of stuff going on. And I got a couple more. We missed it Friday night, but Friday night was the inaugural movie in the park, brought to you by our friends at the Southern Arizona Arts Council and sponsored by Cox. Movies in the Park, free admission at the Demistor Performing Arts Pavilion. Last night they showed The Penguins of Madagascar, and next week they're going to show Big Hero 6, then Shrek, Frozen, How to Train Your Dragon, and they end this summer's Movies in the Park with an all-time classic, The Princess Bride. Excellent roundup for Movies in the Park.
I don't think you know what that word means.
What?
I don't think you know what that word means.
Excellent?
No.
What word?
Come on, Princess Bride.
Oh, you're talking about have fun storm at the castle.
No.
He's mostly dead. Mostly dead.
No.
Liar! Liar!
No. That's all from one scene.
My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. What, are you talking about the little guy that was on Deep Space Nine? The Italian guy? Inconceivable!
I don't think you know what that word means.
What is that? Oh, that's a line from the movie.
Yes!
Inconceivable. All right. And, of course, guess who's playing tonight?
Summer in the City starts.
Oh, yeah, Summer in the City. June. Yeah, Fred, quit pumping up your 4th Avenue downtown main gate, folks. Folks, go out and get your Summer in the City card. But free stuff, the Tucson Pops Orchestra, tonight, 7 o'clock, also at the Demistor Outdoor Performance Center at Reed Park, with award-winning vocalist Crystal Stark. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not been to a Tucson Pops event with the Zumba Master, Laszlo Varish,
the Zumba Master himself,
you've got to go. And then finally, before we take our first break, tickets are available still for the Zeppelin USA concert, an American tribute to Led Zeppelin, June 5th, next week at the Fox Theater. Go to foxtucsontheater.org to buy tickets.
Is that really to the website?
Yeah, foxtucsontheater.org. Yeah. And go there to buy tickets for the show. It's Friday, June 5th. All proceeds go to Steel Children's Research. And my understanding from everyone that's seen these guys is you close your eyes and you think you are at a Led Zeppelin true Jimmy Page concert. Amazing. Robert Plant, there he is.
So is there cannabis as well?
I can't talk to
full
that. Right?
Full sensory.
You're the guy working on 4th Avenue now. You tell me about that.
Full sensory experience.
Maybe. Maybe.
All right.
But remember, it's a big fundraiser and it's great, great at the Fox. Great place to go. Matter of fact, we just went and saw that Glenn Campbell tribute at the Fox this last Wednesday. It was a fundraiser for the Southern Arizona Alzheimer's Association.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Now, that was a movie, right?
It was. It was a documentary. Yep, about Glenn Campbell and his battle with Alzheimer's. So great, great. And the director of the movie was actually there to answer questions. So if you missed that, folks, I'm sorry, but I think you can catch the movie. I think it's going to premiere on CNN in June.
Did you ask any questions?
I did not, because I was really touched by the movie. So I just was kind of taking it all in.
The movie touched you?
It really was an amazing movie.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So anyhow, folks, we got to take a break. We got lots more here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
This bit of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Unicom Graphics, Steel Door, and Sleeping Frog Farms.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is Friend Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Shukshon.
And we're celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson. It's in Arizona. It's so gosh darn wonderful.
That is correct, Fred.
And Jeffrey, this is a little bit of trivia.
I love the trivia, Fred.
This is...
42.
No, that's the wrong answer. Well, I guess it may be the right answer.
It's the right answer,
but we don't know the question.
That's correct.
So,
and so since I don't know the question now,
earlier in the show we talked about, or you talked about White Earth Day, the Tombstone, which
correct.
Is going on right now.
Right.
Little Tucson trivia. Let's throw it in the pot here. The fight at the OK Corral ended in Tucson.
On the tracks downtown.
Yeah. So we have a monument sculpture down at the train depot. That was crafted by local and internationally known artist Dan Bates, commemorating Doc Holliday and Wyatt Earp.
Loading up.
And they chased Frank Stillwell down to Tucson, and he ended up dead on the tracks. Nobody knows exactly what happened.
That's not true. There were plenty of people knew exactly what happened, but nobody was talking.
There was some gunfire, and Wyatt and Doc were seen carrying weapons around the area, in the vicinity.
With smoke following.
But nobody knows exactly what happened.
Right.
But Frank Stillwell ended up dead on the tracks here in Tucson. And that was the end of the OK Corral. The gunfight at OK Corral. So I just want to throw that out there.
Well, thanks, Fred. That's great trivia.
Yeah, because I want to, you know, promote Dan Bates and and the fact that we have a really cool sculpture down there.
Yes, we do.
So another cool thing we have in the city of Tucson is our grand uncle Gibby Ronstadt passed away. Oh, about 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But he claimed that he had the only remaining true Calabacita plants and seeds in Sonoran Desert.
Really?
He claimed that.
Did you actually hear that claim come out of his mouth?
Yes, I did. And but he claimed a lot of things.
Yes. But I will also remember the story that was told about Lalo Guerrero saying, we were just sitting around the street corner in the bar one day, and up came Gibby with $20 in his pocket, and the rest is history.
Yeah, those all of Lalo's stories began about Gibby. But with us in studio today is Larry Warren, who's the executive director of the Native Seed Search, let Larry talk about what the Native Seed Search is. So, Larry, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
That was quite an introduction, wasn't it, Larry?
It was. It's an interesting show. I can see that.
Well, hopefully you can hear that because it is radio.
That's right, radio. Not
Larry, where are you from?
Well, I was raised in Mesa, Arizona, north of the Gila. So
we won't hold that against you.
Yeah, it's,
as long as you didn't go to Tempe Normal.
I did.
Oh!
Jeff!
Sorry, Fred.
Okay.
I actually have 2 degrees from Tempe Normal.
No kidding?
Yes, I do.
Well, share them with us.
For my mental activity, I'm going to pretend that you're Don Collier now.
I know who Don Collier is.
Because you sound like Don, and that way I can just say, you know, because Don's a Tucson guy.
Right.
So let me get the images of Sparky out of my brain. And we can move
forward.
We're
just teasing you, Larry.
But I, you know, when I moved here, and I moved to Tucson in November this past year to take this job with Native Seed Search, first time I'd ever lived in Tucson, but I'd been wanting to come here for many years. But boy, it was a little bit of a transition to all of a sudden try to start rooting for the Wildcats, you know, and not the Sun Devils. And right after I arrived here, of course, was the big game of the year, the football game. And
how'd that end up? I don't remember.
Well, the U of A did win. Now, but we have short memories here. I'm making the switch because I've always, of course, loved the basketball team. But anyway, I'm here in Tucson.
Well, it's nice to live, you know, in a nice, you know, angelic area as opposed to it's actually one of the portals to hell. Come on, let's just be realistic.
Wow, Fred,
I've always said that.
Yeah, well, what did you get your degrees in?
Well, my academic degrees are both in history, and I did actually do graduate work and study more about Southern Arizona because I did my graduate work in radical labor history. And so I did my thesis work on the Bisbee deportation, you know, that infamous incident that took place in, 1917 in Bisbee, Arizona, where the local loyalty league arrested all the striking miners and put them on a train and shipped them out into the desert in Columbus, New Mexico. So
and dropped them off there?
And dropped them off and never allowed them back into the town of Bisbee.
Wow.
So, you know, that's interesting because Phoenix carries on that tradition. Every time there's a big event, they round up a certain class of people, put them on a bus, and send them down
to Tucson.
So, you know,
that's okay. I'm okay with it. So your history background.
Yes.
And you were working or retired before you joined the Native Seed Search?
Well, no, I was working. I'd been overseas. I left Arizona in the early 80s as a Peace Corps volunteer and never came back except for a visit here and there. But I'd been overseas and with a career in development work and a lot of food security work from basically the early 80s up until November of this past year.
Okay, Larry, what's food security? What does that mean?
Well, we're working in food security here in Tucson, basically trying to, to make sure that communities and families, of course, have access to proper nutrition and food. And overseas, the work that I was doing was more or less a little bit grimmer than that, feeding people in war zones and things like that. So
so you're happy to be back?
I am happy to be back. But, again, it was a good career. I was over there for, around close to 30 years.
Wow.
But when I was ready to come back, I definitely wanted to come back south of the Gila, so to speak. I've been enamored with Tucson for years. I've got close friends down here that I've been visiting for years, and when this thing with Native Seeds came up, I went after it with everything I had, and
you got it.
Got it.
All right, so folks, we got to take a break. We've got lots more to talk about here on the Fred and Jeff Show. So stick around.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contracting, Ronstadt Insurance, and Casa de la Luz Hospice.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Shukshon.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn.
Yeehaw!
And we invite you to visit us at friendjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and even subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on... I had to burp.
Yeah, what was that?
On iTunes Radio. You know...
And here's the other thing. Enjoy the weather, ladies and gentlemen. It's 85 degrees. That's going to be the high thing today. It is gorgeous out there right now.
It is horrible out there.
No, Fred.
Because
you have plenty of time to get it into triple digits.
Yeah, that's fine.
But here it is late May. And, this weather reminds me of when we were growing up. Where the May, we'd get out of school a little later. And it was still mild. It was still in the upper 80s. Hadn't quite hit the 100s yet. And remember, whoever the weatherman back was when we were little kids, they used to have that break, when the ice breaks in the Rideau.
I'll remember his name.
Whoever that was, I remember that always happened.
Michael Goodrich.
After school was out. And we were always wondering, when's it going to be 100 degrees? When is it going to be 100 degrees? Well, here it is, late May, and it's in the mid-80s. It's gorgeous. So, folks, this weather was made to go out and hike, go out and walk, go out and see your friends, check out the parks. It's awesome weather. Go to the...
It's way too cold.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Way too cold.
So, anyhow, today...
What?
We're chatting with our friend Larry Warren from Native Seeds Search.
Seeds.
Plural, because there's not just one seed. And Larry, earlier, before we had to take a break, we were talking about how you got here to Tucson. And I was really intrigued because when I was chatting with you setting up this interview, you'd said, you know, I was going to do everything I could to get that job when I found out about it. What did that mean?
Well, for...
Who got paid off?
Well, I've known about Native Seed Search for about a decade or so, as I've, other friends were involved in it. I knew the work that Native Seed Search was involved in, and, you know, in trying to preserve and save the heritage of these arid adapted crops, drought resistant crops, and I'd done a bit of work along those lines overseas in sub-Saharan Africa. It's all about, you know, what kind of crops are drought resistant, what are people going to do to continue to be able to farm and live in, you know, it, with increasing climate change. So to me, it was something I wanted to go after.
And these arid adaptive seeds have been adapted over
centuries.
Yeah.
And so let's talk about that, because, you know, the trend now, or I don't know if it's a trend, but the GMO seeds and people understanding that may not be the most healthy kind of thing, because these seeds have, you know, adapted over time, like we have adapted over time.
Now, you're talking about the native seeds as opposed to the genetically enhanced seeds.
Right, yeah. So I think we need to have be clearly defined what we're talking about in terms of, you know, the native seeds versus anything else that might be available at, you know, your local gardening shop.
Right. Well, you will see terms such as, you know, heritage seeds, heirloom seeds, referring to, you know, seeds that have been around for centuries. And that was, you know, that's what Native Seed Search has really tried to focus on, because the problem that was discovered, it's still with us today, but was discovered by people who founded the organization, was that a lot of the different heirloom seeds, the seeds that came from our ancestors, the Native Americans, the Mexican communities from this area of the Southwest, a lot of these seeds were being lost.
Indigenous
seeds from indigenous communities were being lost.
And what do you mean lost?
Well, they were just
people
being
weren't
lost.
Planting those
well,
crops
because,
anymore.
If you know, I'm not an expert on this. But yeah, in one way or another, they as things were being adapted, as different techniques and different
irrigation techniques,
well, all of that,
higher yield plants,
exactly. But as the industry began to change, the whole industry of agriculture began to change. A lot of the crops that our forefathers planted here were simply being not saved. Not preserved. And what we found out was that, you know, a little farm here, a little farm there, a Native American community here had some of these seeds. They were still growing them, but they were not widespread. And yet these are the most valuable seeds we can have here, because these ancient communities knew that they had to grow seeds that could withstand drought, grow seeds that that grew with a minimal amount of watering, without irrigation. And that's what we believe, that, you know, we've got to get back to some of that because of the climate change problems that are existing today.
So you are working in, where were you working before this? I mean, You were in Africa?
I was in Africa the last 3 years before coming here.
And you get noticed that, hey, the executive director position is available. And so you got on a flight and flew to Tucson to apply.
Actually, I didn't. I one of my home leaves, because as I mentioned, I came to Tucson a lot. And on one of my last home leave coming here before leaving Africa, that's when I found out that this position might be coming up. So I talked to people. Then I went back to Africa, waited for the official announcement of the position, and then, of course, applied. website, and so I did a number of Skype interviews with with the board of directors and the staff at Nady Seed Search from Nairobi, Kenya, which is where I was living the last year or so before coming here.
That's great. Good for you.
Well, I'm thrilled to be here.
So where do you see, as a new executive director, where do you see the direction of the organization headed?
And I like that you use the word new. I'm still trying to milk that a bit longer.
But when did you start? When was your first
starting? I started at the beginning of November of this past year. So I'm, hitting 7 months or something.
New.
Yeah, so it's, still new. But, when I mentioned what, the reason for the beginning of this organization, which goes back about 30 years, our founders, again, noticed that a lot of these seeds were being lost, and so they began to try to collect these seeds and preserve them. And then eventually we started what is called a seed bank, which is the heart of our organization here in Tucson, where we've got this big seed bank. So that's the reason the organization started, and it's still the core reason of our existence, to save, preserve, and grow out. I mentioned to you that we have a farm in Patagonia, and so we take, if we've managed to get our hands on a small group of seeds, that clearly is not enough to help the agriculture of the Southwest. If we get our hands on seeds like that, then we grow them out at our farm and then try to begin expanding these seeds. And when we distribute them to people, it's almost an exchange basis in a lot of cases, where we'll distribute seeds free if they're to needy communities, such as the communities of Tucson, barrio communities, education communities.
Well, yeah, you guys have don't you have a seed program with the Pima County Library System?
We're part of that. Yeah, they have established their own seed bank. A seed saving group in the library now, where people can come, and just like you go into a library to check out a book, you can go into their library and check out a pack of seeds. And then the idea is, when you harvest those seeds, you will try to return some to the bank. And that's what we ask people to do. If we distribute a lot of seeds to a batch of seeds to, say, a community of any kind, we ask that they try to get, say, if they have a successful harvest, then they give them back, and hopefully we can keep expanding these seeds that were, again, in many cases, were on the verge of being lost.
Well, thinking about the idea of a library, so the Native Seeds Search has, you have like a storage
facility. Over 2,000 accessions. Yeah.
Accessions is like a variety?
Oh, right, exactly.
So, and some of those are getting distributed, and some of those are, rare enough that you can't, it's not enough to go out and...
We're still trying to grow those out. There are issues, with a plant actually being able to grow it out if the seeds have been damaged or whatnot. So, we test the seeds.
Test the seeds?
Yeah, to see if they will germinate.
Oh, got it.
And if they do germinate, then, boy, we get them onto our farm, or we'll get them out into communities so that people can start growing these.
Do they have to take Spanish for that?
Funny, Fred. That's a line from Woody Allen Sleeper, right?
Yes, right.
So, you guys know the movies.
So Woody Allen. Well, I'm going through your seed listing of 2015, and it's amazing. I mean, everything from beans, lima beans, to peri beans, to broccoli, to chili, to carrots, cabbage, chilta beans. I mean, cotton, cowpea. I mean, it goes. Corn, of course, it goes on and on and on and on. Gourd, melon. So all of these seeds, all of these plants are ancient Sonoran Desert plants that they would grow, that our forefathers would grow?
Not 100%. Some of the things, like you mentioned, and I'm not sure which ones, but you mentioned like broccoli,
right.
I mean, these are things that we know backyard gardeners and farmers, small farmers in the area want to plant. And so we will sometimes collect these from other sources, but we make sure that we're, trusted sources that are you know, that they're not not GMO seeds.
Right.
But most of what we have in our store, most of it is the type of seeds that we've discussed here.
That's where, awesome.
You know,
that's awesome. We got to take a quick break, right?
Well, I just,
go ahead.
Partnerships with like with local you know, farms like Sleeping Frog Farms.
Exactly. A lot of groups. The Mission Gardens, you know, the what's it called? The Friends of Tucson Birthplace.
Right.
And yeah, a lot of different, and even some of the commercial farmers in the area are now starting to take, if you use the example of like white Sonoran wheat, which is a product that has just sort of exploded here now. Bakers like it, even the brewers like it. This was an example of a variety that was going to be lost, that was close to being lost. And now we've helped, not only us, but we've helped to bring that back. And now commercial farmers around Arizona are using this because it's a very durable wheat. It's, you know, it's drought resistant. It's an excellent product to bake with. And like I say, even the brewers now are using it. So that's a good example.
That's a great example.
A success story we've had. Yeah.
All right. So, Larry, sorry, we got to take a break. Folks, we'll be back for the last part of the Fred and Jeff Show, so please stick around.
We come on this loop, John B. My grandfather and me. Around Nassau Town we did roam. Drinking all night. Got into a fight. Well, I feel so broken. I wanna go home.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Anthony Cigar Emporium, Power Women Investing, and Mayfield Florist.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
We're celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture to make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful. I was just thinking, you know, part of our culture is our agriculture. And we've been talking to...
Boy, you're really a wordsmith today, aren't you?
No, but, you know, Larry Warren is here from Native Seed Search. And truly, people growing up, living in the Sonoran Desert, agriculture was part of who they were.
Who we are, yeah.
And who we are.
I mean, Dad still grows tomatoes in the backyard.
Well, the worms eat them, but yes. the worms...
You know what's funny about that, Fred, that you say that? So he was gloating about his tomatoes that he was growing in the backyard. And I said, well, gosh, Dad, that sounds great. I'd love to have some. He goes, well, when I get more than three, I'll let you know.
The bugs.
Yeah. But, folks, we're here today with Larry Warren from Native Seeds Search. And, Larry, we've been talking about all things about Native Seed Search. But, you know, in going through your seed listing, by the way, this is a great catalog. Is this available to the public?
It's available every, you know, in our store, in other places. It's free, of course, anywhere you can find it.
It's online as well, right?
And it is online at our, you know, nativeseeds.org website. Certainly we also have mail order list. If people join the organization, become members, which I, you know, highly encourage people to do because that's partly how we survive.
Sure.
But certainly with our membership goes this catalog whenever we redo it, it's sent out immediately to everybody on our list.
So if I want to get Dad some seeds to some tomatoes that are more drought resistant and he'll likely have a greater harvest, how do I do that? Do I just come down to the store and buy a packet of seeds?
Well, either way, you can. We do have our retail store on Campbell, just off of Fort Lowell. So you can go in there, and it's a great store. And our staff in there knows about the very thing you're asking. You know, when do I plant this tomato? Which variety do I plant? When do I plant the squash? Our staff is wonderful about that. But if you don't have time to get down there, of course, you can go online and order these products online, either online or telephone orders. you know, any way we can get these to you, we'll accommodate you.
So. And the one thing I'm curious, though, because it's lots of vegetables and greens and herbs. Any wildflowers? Any flowers?
Absolutely. And in our store, a lot of people come in to buy the wildflowers. We don't, in terms of our farm, grow outs at our farm, in terms of trying to protect these seeds and to bring these seeds back, not as much of that is, of course, flowers. It's mostly concentrating on food products. But you mentioned, in terms of like flowers and even grasses, we are now starting to grow some what we call cover crops, native grasses, in partnership with a group called Borderlands Restoration, which is an organization centered in Patagonia. But restoring the native grasses throughout the Southwest has a great deal of importance, along with restoring these food.
What happened to the native grasses in the Southwest?
They've been endangered in the same way through development, through, you know, a big housing development or whatever.
Well, yeah, but
destroying the habitat, and
so the introduction of buffle grass.
Exactly. I mean, invasive species of grasses have had their toll, and of course, spraying chemicals and things has also taken its toll. So an organization like Borderlands Restoration, just like Native Seeds, we're concentrating on the agriculture, the farming. They're concentrating on restoration of habitats.
Yeah, if we could get rid of all the olive trees and all the eucalyptus trees, you know, that people brought with them back in the 20s and 30s.
And they take a lot of water.
Not only do they take a lot of water, but they spit out a lot of pollen that makes me sneeze all the time. Uh-huh. You know, those olive trees are, oof.
Well, I thought the sneezing was from something else.
Maybe. But, so veggies and flowers. Now, are there seeds out there that you guys are, like, the grail of seeds?
The holy grail of seeds
that, is there, like, some sort of seed that you guys haven't gotten your hands on yet that you're hoping?
And I don't know which one that would be, and I don't know that we know, but we constantly keep our eyes open, and we, you know, we'll have people come into the store that'll talk about their grandmother, outside of Sales, Arizona, that grew these seeds and that they somehow got their hands on them and give them to us. So in terms of varieties and the ones that, you know, we have so many varieties of corn, chilies, beans, because of course those were the, you know, the heartland,
the staples,
of
yeah.
Staples exactly of the Southwest. And so we've got hundreds of varieties of those plants and always looking for more, because again, if we find one that is drought resistant and of course still appealing to the palate, that's what we want to work on.
So absolutely,
we're constantly looking for that.
Any local bakers that you want to promote that are utilizing that good wheat that you guys have?
Well, Don from the Barrio Bread, I believe, is a close friend of ours, and he uses the white Sonoran wheat that I mentioned to you before. He bakes with that. They more and more, they... you know, the heritage breads that a lot of the breads that are baked with these heritage seeds are becoming more and more popular around the state.
Well, and more importantly, do you know any of the local brewers that are using that white wheat?
They are at the
Pueblo Vita or Dragoon.
Dragoon is one, and then the one that's out on Grant.
Dragoon's out on Grant.
That's what I'm thinking about. A couple of their brews now are using the white Sonoran wheat.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's showing up more and more. And again.
Good stuff.
Awesome part of our whole industry.
Here. Yeah. Well, we feel like we've just scratched the surface with you. We'd love to get you to come back on the show in the future if you'd like to.
I'd love to, yes.
And for more information, folks, Larry, your website is what?
It's nativeseeds.org. Nativeseeds.org is our website. And again, you can go on there, become a member, order products. If you get a chance to get into our store on Campbell, you will see that, of course, it's just a very nice store where we – we sell a lot of products that come from Native American artists, and so we've got more in there than just the seeds. But
yeah, it's a great store.
It is a really nice store, and very friendly people working at that store.
It is. They are. Yeah.
Well, good luck in the future, and folks, remember it's nativeseeds.org. And it's a great website. Go out and start planting some of these. The reason I ask is these desert wildflowers are absolutely gorgeous.
And remember, the monsoon garden season is coming up. That's the next garden that all the gardeners will be making their plans for. What will they plant for the monsoon season?
Now, the monsoon is our fifth season here in the Old Pueblo.
Yeah, again,
we have dry summer and wet summer.
Right. So the monsoon, which you know usually comes in July, and then start making your plans.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Monsoon garden.
Thanks, Larry. Fred, you want to give anything away here at the end of the show? Maybe a dozen roses.
Well, they're not native seed roses, but our friends over at Mayfield Florist, the first person to call us and talk about how Jeff is a cheesehead.
No. No. The first person they call.
No, the first person to call us to talk and give us an idea of what kind of garden they're going to be growing this season at 520-428-5104.
And we'll even throw in a $25 gift certificate to the Pita Jungle Mediterranean Bistro.
So
along with those dozen roses.
Those roses from our friends at Mayfield Florist. I think that's good.
The Art of Eating Healthy, Pita Jungle. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, folks, get out there and meet your neighbors. Go and do something fun like planting a garden with the kids.
A monsoon garden.
A monsoon garden. Yeah, that's a great idea. Go to nativeseeds.org for more ideas, and we'll see you next week here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
Let's talk about the good time. Let's talk about the good time. I wish I could just go back to the days I'm speaking of.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Sleeping Frog Farms and Fred's Meditation Salon and Tequila Lounge.